Hey everybody, welcome back to a brand new episode of Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. I'm very happy to be able to show you a conversation I had with the wonderfully talented and very funny Irish man in Germany. Here we go. Lawrence, thank you so much for being on today's show, man. How are you?
Great, man. Cheers. Thanks for having me.
Where are you based, actually? I don't think I know exactly where you... I mean, you don't have to say exactly where you live, but whereabouts?
In Baden-Württemberg, somewhere close to Lake Constance there.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it's pretty, dude. Yeah, it's a super nice part of the world. I mean, the whole of southern Germany, I think... I don't know. I've been around Germany a little bit. My brother used to live in Berlin, and... I had an uncle who lived in a place called Recklinghausen, and it's a beautiful country, man, isn't it? I mean, I don't know. It's like every little town you go to, every little village, it's just nice. It's a nice, nice country.
How would you compare where you are to, I mean, you know, the famous Irish countryside, as people always talk about?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, actually, because people are like, when I say I'm from Ireland, people always say, oh, so sure and so beautiful, you know? And it is beautiful, man. But also then I find myself thinking, but it's also stunning here, you know, here, like Ireland is famous for those, you know, the cliffs of Moher or rolling landscapes and everything. It does have all that. Here also has it, but it has the weather as well. Like in Ireland, one of my jobs used to be a history tour guide, and I take a lot of tourists out around all the sites. And some days it would be a bus trip out to the west of Ireland, and you'd have all these Americans on, and it's their one trip. They come over to Ireland and they're going to do it one time and go and see their family roots or whatever. And it would be raining so often, like so often. It was horrendous, horrendous weather. And it's devastating. You feel sad for them, especially like, I don't know if you know what the Cliffs of Moher are, these stunning cliffs on the west coast of Ireland looking over the Atlantic. But very often, man, I take them to the edge and you look off and there's just clouds underneath. You can't see the ocean or nothing. So it's a bit sad for them. But yeah, Germany, man, it's stunning. I mean, like Ireland is beautiful, but also I think Germany really is just, it's another level, to be honest.
All I had to do was type in cliffs, just cliffs. And immediately it was like, of Moher? Of Moher? Oh, look, that's where they shot one part of the Harry Potter movie.
Yeah, I think they shot Star Wars there as well, if I remember correctly.
God, that's gorgeous, huh? That's
they really shot pretty. A bunch of stuff there, dude. It's really something, actually. It is proper stunning. It's
very cinematic. But I can totally imagine being a history guide and taking Americans to this area, and it's just pissing rain, cloudy, windy, and you're just there in your full body poncho and umbrella, like, welcome, guys. I'm really sorry about this.
That was it, man. Like, probably 80, 90% of the time, you know?
Really?
And when you look at it on the photographs, it's gorge. But then, yeah, like, often, man, they'd stay, like, I would bring them to a location, and the idea is that then they jump out of the bus and they go for a walk around or whatever. Oftentimes, they would stay in the bus. I was thinking, oh shit, you know, this is awkward, and then I'm trying to entertain them and stuff, but the weather was that bad often that kind of thing happened. At the same time, you get lovely days sometimes, and it's still good crack, you know. So yeah,
I've seen some content recently from some Irish content creator, I'm not sure, just someone on TikTok that came through, and it was making fun of these Americans who take these trips and like what their real life experience is. And it was like a Stitch. And the first part was this, I'm assuming American, walking, you know, in some beautiful field somewhere in Ireland. And by some chance, by some miracle, it was like sunny and nice. And they were kind of holding the camera up and spinning around. And then it like cut to the real Irish guy in some town. And it was cloudy and kind of sprinkling rain and miserable. And he's like, why can't I get that? Why did the tourists get to see this? And I never get that. Where is that?
Yeah, for real, yeah. Yeah, that's reality. That's reality on the ground. The cold, hard truth.
But I totally agree with you, though. I think coming where I come from in New Orleans or in the South, I can I think as I get older, I can appreciate more of the beauty of the place where I grew up. I mean, New Orleans is definitely a city, and I do love cities, and I think I tend to be sort of magnetized or just drawn towards cities more.
Right.
For some reason, maybe it's because I grew up on such a rural area. But as I get older, this rural area that I, as a kid, was in Mississippi, I every time I visit, or like every time I kind of relive something, I'm more and more grateful for it, and I can appreciate it more. Like these rolling, you know, the amber waves of grain, these rolling hills with the Mississippi sunset, and like the, you know, endless cornfields, and it's so, it is beautiful. It is kind of like mystical in a way. Because I'm feeling that more, I can really see that more in Germany too. Like I can appreciate it more than I did my first few years here, I think.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of the opposite in the sense that I grew up in a city, and then I'm kind of now, you know, I kind of wanted the countryside, wanted the opposite thing. But now that I'm in the countryside, of course, then sometimes you miss the city, you know, it's always the yearning for the other thing, I guess.
What city did you grow up in?
In Dublin.
In Dublin. Okay, nice.
In Dublin, yeah. And Dublin's a cool city. Like, it's a small city. It's about 1 million people. It's not super small, but you can walk around it or cycle around it anyway. And it's great atmosphere, good vibe, great crack.
That's where you were born and raised?
I was actually born in Saudi Arabia.
What?
Yeah. Hey.
He's got tricks up his sleeves, people.
Yeah. Yeah, my folks were working out there in the 80s. And then I was had out there. Actually, they really had no intention of moving home, only that the Gulf War happened, and there was missiles flying over the place where they were working, and they were all kicked out. They said, okay, everyone has to get the hell out of here.
Wow.
But they were very happy there, man. They said they were going to stay there for a long time more. I spoke fluent Arabic when I was a kid, and whoa, I've lost it all. It's very sad. Like, my mother can still speak it, we went to Morocco on a holiday a few years back, and she had always said, like, I still have the Arabic, it's still there. And I was like, oh yeah, sure you do. But dude, we got in a taxi and we drove from the airport to a place called Essaouira where we were staying. She talked Arabic the whole time to the taxi dude. It was very impressive. But I used to speak it. I spoke it apparently as good as English when I was there. And I was there till I was 3 or 4. I can't remember. But then we came back to Ireland, and it just fell by the wayside, and now I've got nothing. It's sad because like if you have two languages, especially when you're a kid, it makes it easier to learn another one, a third or a fourth. It has those opens those neural pathways, and
exactly.
So it's a shame, but it's gone. So now I'm just struggling to learn German instead.
Man, I completely feel you on that part. Like a couple of weeks ago, I had Austrian Kiwi, this guy Johnny.
Oh yeah.
So I had him on the podcast, and man, like being around him, and for him, you know, he has such a different rhythm and a different melody when he speaks like this Austrian sounding German. It's a totally different dialect. Like I would even just call it Austrian and call German German. It's so separate. But like being around him on that day is very, it's intimidating because I think, you know, I've passed B1 for my visa. So I have that in my pocket, but I mean, I'm losing it more and more each day. I just don't get myself into a position or around people where I'm required to challenge myself more with it. How was it for you?
Hard, man. Yeah.
It's tough. It's really tough, man.
Like it's made tougher for sure by the fact that I'm lazy with it. You know, I definitely could and should put more work into it, but number one, the Germans have fantastic English for the most part. In my experience, it really puts me to shame. I feel embarrassed all the time when I'm listening to them. The classic thing, you know, yeah, you say, oh, do you speak a bit of English? And of course they give you the, oh, a little bit or not so much. And then they can write a dissertation for you or whatever. And so does that. I kind of, yeah, in general life, when I kind of start speaking in German, they'll tend to switch into English, and then I just roll with that. But look, it's getting better. I'm climbing the mountain. I'm on the mountain somewhere. In some ways, it's nice though, in the sense that it's very similar to English. That's the kind of, it's almost like a, a cruel joke in that it's like so much of it is so similar, but yet it's still so difficult. Like so many of the words are similar. You just put the sentences are just backwards to us. And
it's like doing math on acid or something.
Yeah, it is.
You know,
it is.
It's like it's just a mechanic of something that should be simple. And you kind of see the simple thing inside of the more complicated thing, but you're not sure. Like you don't have the tools to get to that simple part. You can't get through that hard shell of insanity.
Yeah, for sure.
How long have you lived in Germany now?
Just over 3 years now, I think.
But man, I think for just 3 years, that you're doing pretty good. It sounds to me. I mean, just in terms of also your acclimation to the culture and stuff, you know.
Right. Yeah. No. It's
Do you feel that way, or do you still feel pretty alien?
No. Like I feel pretty grand, to be honest. In terms of sliding into the culture, in the sense that I love Germany. Like I love German people. I think it's a cool country. I think they're weird and interesting humans, you know.
They are weird.
It's hardcore. But like I always find that when I get locked into deep conversations with them, they're interesting, deep, weird people, you know, and I love that.
Yeah.
There's no messing around with them. They're so honest and so I respect it. I think, you know, in Ireland, it's very different in the sense that people are super friendly. It's I guess more like a bit like American culture, where you know everything is super friendly and happy, but also there's a sheen of fakeness or of just kind of going through the motions of being overly polite and stuff. And you don't get that here, and it's refreshing in a way. And
that's fair. Yeah, that's very fair.
It's interesting, but no, it's. I guess to answer your question, yeah, I feel okay, kind of like inside the culture and stuff, but still absolutely like an alien on many, many occasions. I make plenty of mistakes. I thought I had my shit reasonably together before I came here. No. I need to improve as a human on all fronts.
I feel like if you don't have every single like compartment of your life finalized and able to take full responsibility for it, the Germans will single it out like immediately, like a sour grape in a box of fruit. Like, there's the problem. You know?
for sure.
It's crazy. I had this conversation with a friend yesterday. It's so impressive how even the youngest Germans, I feel like, and I mean, I guess of course it depends where they come from. Maybe I can really only speak for Bavarians, but like the youngest people, like even this podcast started with a regular co-host. It's still like he comes back every once in a while, but he's a young friend of mine, like, and young in my terms now, he's 25, which is young. But when I first met him, he was 19, 18 or 19.
Right.
And even then, even when my first year or so, when he was 18 or 19, whenever I had questions or thoughts about something even remotely bureaucratic or just something that was outside of the immediate, like outside of this guessing realm, you know, like you can kind of guess like, oh, maybe I should maybe go there if I want to get that. But that next step where I just have no idea where to go or what to do or what to sign or something with taxes or insurance or, you know, the red letters that come from the Ausländerbehörde, like all these things. He was just somehow a teenager who was like, oh yeah, this is the Steuer Erklärung, and you have to go to the Finanzamt, and no, of course you just take this form, and it's a C97 form. You can just call them and they'll send you something in the mail. I'm like, how do you know that though? But how do you know that? When I was teenager, I never knew anything like that. I barely had a bank account at 19. I don't know.
Yeah. No, it's a different universe, man. I think it's just drilled into them, you know? It's just drilled into them.
Yeah.
The way they go about simple things like cleaning, you know, like this on a Saturday morning, they have these, I mean, and it's not just once or twice I've seen it. They seem to just all have these, they're just more organized. They just do shit in an orderly and constructive way. And it's impressive to watch, but it makes you feel, makes you feel inadequate, you know?
Dude, I mean, of all the things that you and I mock them for, it's definitely, there's some behaviors like this, the cleanliness or like the house shoe mentality. I mean, maybe that's also very common in Ireland, but in the US, that was something that, you know, I adjusted to here. I felt like I was in Japan or something.
Yeah.
This cleanliness and the thing with the organization and the responsibility. And amongst all that, there's a lot of things that can be easily mocked, but there's also in all the sport and hiking and stuff, amongst all that is actually really healthy behaviors.
Totally. Yep. Totally.
Being more responsible, being on time. I mean, and don't tell anybody that I said this, but it's actually really healthy behaviors to adapt, to pick up.
100%,
you know, if
man,
everybody around you, you know, whether or not they look like absolute idiots doing it, if they're cycling more and hiking more and doing their paperwork the day that it comes in and showing up early to things and making sure to do something as small as just stay hydrated, like all these little behaviors. Yes, they look like losers, and that's funny, but they're also like kind of rubbing that off on you.
Totally, totally, man. You know? No, I, it's just been a few years, but I can feel myself improving on all fronts.
Absolutely.
There's no doubt about it. I just being in the environment and watching the way they operate. It's brought me up, you know. Because I'm naturally quite all over the place kind of person, forgetful, you know, reasonably disorganized. And it's improving me, I think, for sure.
Oh, dude, I'm in exactly the same boat. I'm exactly the same type of person. Like, so you've been here about 3.5 years. Did you start in Germany and specifically where you are now? Like for a particular reason, was it like for a partner or for a job, or did you just want to try something fresh? Did you have you said your cousin lived in Berlin, right? Or your brother?
Yeah, my brother was living in Berlin, but the on and off for about 10 years or so, he has a techno record label.
Oh, wow.
That he was running, and he was doing gigs over there. And so he was kind of back and forth and stuff. So I visited him a little bit, but yeah, no, my partner is from Germany. So she's from this area here. And so that was the main reason. We were living in Dublin for about 4 years or so. And then the pandemic hit. Mm-hmm. And then we lost our jobs and whatever. And she came back to Germany. She wanted to spend it here. Sure. Rather than being cooped up in our small apartment in Dublin. And I initially stayed in Dublin. I had probably the best time of my life during that early pandemic, actually, as bad as the pandemic was.
What did you do?
It wasn't for Lawrence. I was basically playing guitar in my underpants and drinking for for months. That was it. It was fabulous. I woke up in the morning. I never got dressed. I woke up in the morning and I just plugged in the guitar, man, and smashed it out. The apartment that I was living in, there was a couple of other apartments attached to it. And those people who were living there, they went back to their family homes, like in the countryside or whatever, because the city was shut down. There was nothing happening. The jobs were stopped. So people just left. I stayed there. And so I was able to jack up the amp to the max, and it was a beautiful, beautiful time in amongst all the terror that was going on. I was just there in my room having a ball. And so that went on for a few months. And then I was like, what the hell am I doing? Came crushing in.
You opened up your bedroom door and just pushed like whiskey bottles, like click, 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 click. Lawrence, it's time to go
pretty
home.
Much. Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, we've all had our, you know, Richard Manuel from the band.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We've all had our Richard Manuel summers, you know, everybody drinks a little too much.
Good time.
How long have you played guitar for? Is that always something you just a hobby or something you pursued or?
Yeah, no, playing guitar for over 20 years. It's a big, big part of my life. And I'm a guitar teacher as well, actually, here.
Oh, nice, man.
I do. And so I was doing it in Dublin a little bit, but then really stepped it up over here, because when I came over, I was thinking, one of the things I can do is hopefully keep teaching the guitar. And I didn't really think it would work. I didn't know how to go about it. I just stuck up signs like in the supermarkets and stuff, like old school. And it worked, you know, people just called, and then it kind of snowballed and then got a bit of a guitar business going on. So it's sweet. Yeah. Lovely.
Dude, that's great. You started that from the first stretch of time when you were looking for some under the table cash.
Yeah, pretty much. As soon as I got here, it was because it was still during the pandemic, so I didn't have a job here for a long time, because there was nothing going on, and so I just started putting those signs up, and that's what got me up and going. Yeah, so Dude, you play music as well yourself, don't you?
That's right. Yeah. And I did the same thing. Like when I came here, I didn't have any jobs. I was doing like restaurant gigs and cafe gigs for a while.
Sure, yeah.
But you know, no harm in that, but I was still kind of like hoping for something more I could get creative with. And yeah, basically I had the same idea. Like I was like, well, I can teach guitar, or maybe I can even try and rope it into English lessons or tandem English.
Sure.
Things.
Yeah.
So I'll be, I put up flyers with my phone number, maybe an email address. And a few people called, and I ended up giving guitar lessons just for a few months, actually, until like a better job came up. Cause I realized it was a good thing to try, but I realized it's not, I don't really enjoy it so much.
Right. Right.
I think it's just, I enjoy seeing them progress, but I have no patience if I can see that they didn't try something.
Okay.
You know, and then I'm like, well, why are you, I mean, I'll take the $20 or whatever you're, you know, whatever it is per lesson or something. But I just, I realized I just didn't have so much fun with it. But when you were, have you tried like, is like being in a band or songwriting still something that you'd like to try and pursue here?
Yeah, man, big time. Like that's a sad part of leaving Ireland, is that I was playing music there and yeah, I was in a band for years. That had kind of dried up, but not completely. But at least in Dublin, there was a constant opportunity to play music live and or be in bands and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an aspect that I absolutely want back in my life. And I'm very lucky. There's a Scottish dude who lives down the road from me here. Lovely guy. And so we meet up and we play music together. There's also an Austrian dude as well who was playing drums. And so we have a little shindig going on. And which is nice because we just get to, you know, we're writing songs and playing music and it's a nice outlet. But we haven't done any gigs yet or something. But that would be the goal for sure. I would love to like start playing gigs again because it's a beautiful thing to do.
Man, it'd be so much fun. Yeah, I mean, I feel like we have a lot of things in common. It seems like I also, you know, was in New Orleans and I was playing in like three different bands.
New Orleans is a good place for the tunes. Good place for music. Yeah,
absolutely, absolutely.
I'd say it's a huge scene.
Absolutely, yeah. It's you know, hundreds of venues open of all genres every 7 nights a week. Most of the time.
I can only imagine, man. Yeah,
and like if you're a musician who's trying to get better, it's the best place to be, because not only is there kind of constantly this buzz of you hearing people around you who are extremely good. So you have this kind of like, it's not even like an unhealthy thing of like jealousy. It's like you have a really healthy competition of like,
Oh,
I never thought about like this jazzy structure before. That's so not my thing, but maybe I can try something. Hey, can you show me? Oh yeah, man. So it's this, you know, if you do your fingers like this, it's a D flat 7-9. And then I had people, so many great talented guitarists showing me simpler ways to do chord structures. I was trying to kind of map out by ear. Because I taught myself guitar when I was a teenager. So sweet. I have kind of funky, unorthodox hand structures on things,
right?
Because I had this little, it was my dad's acoustic guitar that he never played. And one day I just found it and got, I don't know why I decided that day to start trying it, but there was a little like off-brand cheap guitar, little like chord book inside the bag.
Yeah.
And all it had was like the tab, you know, it was like the string and then like the dots.
Yeah.
And it was like, this would be E major. And I was like, oh, or just E or whatever. And I thought, oh, that's cool. And then I ended up just putting my fingers where they felt most comfortable.
Right, right.
So my bar chords, like the ring finger and the pinky are reversed.
Okay.
And the same with the E. Like a lot of people put that middle finger first, I think. And for me, it's like a C, like this line. It's like the ring finger first.
Ah, okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
But it also kind of freed up things for me, because pretty early on, I was really into finger picking because I was super into like that Freewheeling Bob Dylan album.
Right.
And
yeah.
The way he picks like North Country and stuff was, or so many great songs on that record. I realized as I was trying to learn them that I had so much freedom with my thumb. And pretty early on, I realized I could do this overlap thing for certain bass notes, or like, not to get all inside baseball for people who don't play music, but like, you know, when you play
that is a big door when that door opens, once you realize you can get the thumb action going and do the bass, that's a huge breakthrough, isn't it, on guitar?
Dude, and I have abused it. I have abused it religiously ever since. I probably even use it too much on when I really don't have to. But like getting my favorite thing is like play, when you're like walking down, like from G, I don't know, let's say down to E, having that that D with the thumb on the F sharp.
Oh yeah. Nice. Yeah, beautiful.
It's such a nice feel. Like, yeah, I got it. It's like
Yeah.
this just deeper, richer thing. No, but that makes total sense about you, about how you got here and stuff. And every time I've talked to a different creator thus far, because I'm just trying to, I feel like I should backtrack on that a little bit. I've really been paying attention to how many great content creators there are now, it seems, of like this community of people. I'm getting some guests too on the show who have nothing to do with Germany, but are just funny creators. But I was kind of doing like not determined research, but just sort of nonchalantly seeing like, oh, there are so many people who kind of have a different angle or like a different approach to this, but that we're all kind of voicing the same struggle of being different or seeing these weird
Yeah.
behaviors. And that's why I was really, your videos are so funny. I saw the new one, the Germinator.
Oh yeah.
Dude, and people send me your videos constantly.
Likewise, man.
It's
Likewise.
crazy. And it's so cool to see that. And it like I was able to get yeah, like Austrian Kiwi, which his stuff is really, really niche and really what I noticed is different about his thing is he's very pro, it seems like very pro Austria. Like he's very
Yeah,
supportive
actually,
and
yeah.
uplifting of Austria,
Yeah.
which is cool. I mean, I think Austrians love that.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think that's a good angle for him to go to, because why not? Because it's like it's overshadowed by Germany, you know? And I think it's a good thing that it's probably why not take that angle? It's like, because Austrians should be proud of Austria, and you know, it's
Yeah.
I guess in that kind of, because with a similar language, it's similar in Ireland and England. I think, you know, Irish people sometimes we feel a little bit overshadowed by England next door,
Sure.
and so I can kind of relate to that in a sense, in that way, yeah.
What were some of the first like, you know, as a musician and as someone who did these historical tours and things, when did you decide or you know, what was like the first sort of concept for a video where you thought because a lot of people have an idea of something like that, but then, you know, get too shy or think that they're not funny enough to do it. And I think it's so cool when someone follows through because sometimes the payback or the reward is so great. Like, you know, you've seen your audience grow so much and the videos are super funny. So, like, what was the first video concept where you're like, why don't I just try and do this? And like, when was it?
Yeah, so I had been doing a different kind of like a different completely different comedy stuff before. In Ireland, I should backtrack slightly. In Ireland, I was an actor. That was my kind of main pursuit.
Ah, okay.
And so I trained in acting, and I was doing it professionally, not like not flat out. It wasn't going amazingly, but it was tipping away enough that it was a job of sorts. And so then when I came over to Germany, I thought, oh, that was a big thing for me, whereas like I'll have to quit the acting because I won't be able to continue doing it over here realistically. Yeah, so I started just a different comedy channel, started doing some random videos. You know, no, nothing too great. Got a little bit of traction, but mainly just my friends and stuff from home watching it. Anyway, my partner was telling me the whole time, she was saying, do German Irish cultural comparison videos. And for basically, yeah, so for like the first 2 years, I was like, no way. I was like, no, not a chance. I was like, and she was like, come on. She was like, what, why not? And I was like, I don't know. I was like, I couldn't visualize it, or I couldn't, I it didn't feel me or something. I was making these more very niche, weird kind of things, and I basically couldn't see me in it. Anyway, then I started seeing Liam's videos started popping up on Instagram for me, and I started to see them, and then also your videos, and then I started to see some other, like basically, I started to become aware of the other people in the niche, and I saw the videos, and it just kind of was in the back of my head, you know, and I was thinking, ah, this could be something, you know, and it took a long time for me to finalize how I would do it or what the vibe would be. Anyway, I went into the forest one day. I was like, right, let's gonna try and brainstorm some ideas. I actually climbed up a tree and sat in a tree for about a half an hour. It was very poetic, man. pontificating up a tree, and I came up with a really overly complex idea that this Irishman be walking through a forest and he'd meet this German, and I had this big script in my head, and I came home with the idea to film that, and then I ended up scrapping it on a complete whim. I was like, oh, wait a minute, I'm just going to I was walking in the door into the kitchen, and I said, oh, maybe I'll just walk in as an Irishman. I'll say, oh, excuse me, sorry, and then the German can walk in and go, hello, and to get people's attention. And right. I was like, all right, that'll take me like 8 seconds.
Yeah.
And maybe that's an easier place to start. So I did that. Thought nothing of it, put it up on TikTok. And the next day, I woke up the next day and there was 500 followers on the channel. And I thought, holy shitballs.
Yeah,
so that was how it started. And I just put the head down and started working away at that, man. But that was how it kicked off.
Were you uploading primarily to TikTok first before you started uploading to both?
Yeah. I started the Irishman channel on TikTok, and then like, I don't know, a couple of weeks later or something. So very soon afterwards, I put them on the Instagram as well. But the TikTok was the one that took off first, and then the Instagram was a bit slower. And then, yeah, it's kind of coming on then as well.
Yeah, dude. I mean, your TikTok's really big right now. That's really cool. I had a question lined up, and then I looked up your channel. Oh, did you have this feeling too that when you were uploading to TikTok the first handful of videos, that the growth was so fast that you kind of worried that it was like, I thought it was like, I had never experienced any, like I had struggled, I don't know how many, a decade at least, you know, to try and get some followers on Instagram for other things, like for music primarily or whatever.
Sure, yeah.
I wasn't being funny on there, but I wasn't even considering like putting this, you know, part of me into these videos. It was only sort of trying to get some sort of traction with music. And I was struggling. And then I just kind of tried a couple of funny videos on TikTok once. And same as you said, like the amount of views or whatever was, I don't know, 100 times more than I'd ever gotten before. And then I had like, after a few videos, whatever, my first 1,000 followers or 2,000 followers. And I was like, that took me 8 years to get on Instagram. Like, what?
Yeah.
Did you have the same experience where it was like super fast?
Super fast. Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I never imagined that would happen.
It's crazy.
Really didn't think that would happen. Because just, yeah, my experience previously was just, well, I just had one comedy channel, but it was like super slow and super small, like, you know, very, very small. And then that one just, I was flabbergasted by how quickly it grew and how well it was received by the Germans as well. I was afraid that the Germans would be pissed off, man, or start like, be offended and stuff. But they can really take a great joke, and they seem to really like it. And it was a really nice surprise for sure.
I was really impressed by that too, how good the Germans can take a joke. It's really like, I when I talked to Liam, I was asking him about like any malicious comments or any kind of mean messages, and maybe every once in a while there's someone who doesn't quite get it. But there was a comment once that I loved. It was on a video, or I made fun of the Germans somehow. And one of the comments was, not to be the German here, but I don't think this is very funny. I was like, but that's so funny. That's so good. I mean, have you ever had messages? Probably not, right? Because they take the joke so well. Have you had many people saying like, hey, excuse me, that's not so funny?
I actually think nothing, man. From the Germans, nothing.
That's
actually
awesome.
It came from the Irish people. The only negative stuff has actually come from the Irish. As far as I can remember, there might have been one or two German comments that were a little bit offended, but I don't actually think so. I put out a video about the names, Irish names, Irish versus German names.
Oh yeah,
Irish names are like Siobhan or Aoife, and these they're beautiful Irish names, but when you spell them it in English, the kind of phonetics of it looks very crazy. So it if you were to read it with English phonetics, it seems quite crazy. Anyway,
The Siobhan really trips me up.
Yeah, a lot of Irish people got offended by that man, and like really? which that really surprised me. Which I wasn't really prepared for, but I don't know what I mean. Look, who knows? It's obviously just a joke, but people got quite defensive over the Irish language. I guess some people feel a bit defensive over it, and that's fine. I guess, you know, whatever. It rubbed some people up the wrong way, but yeah, I.
But you're not living there, so who gives a shit?
Yeah, I think it was. Look, that being said, most people just. Understood it was a joke or whatever, but and the one that pops out, that was the one time I think really where there was some pushback, and it was from Irish people rather than Germans, which was interesting.
That's actually pretty funny how that works. I was trying to think if I ever had any. I don't think I ever had any pushback from any. I mean, not that I saw. I don't think I've ever had any pushbacks from Americans, because there was a good stretch. I mean, it depends on the video I'm trying to make, I guess, but I tend to try and toe that line. And I'm sure you feel this way too, between Irish and German cultures. But like when I mock, if I have a scene, if I have a skit where me playing an American is talking to me playing a German, I try to kind of make fun of both of them.
Sure. Yeah.
To show that they're both absurd, because it's there are plenty of things to make fun of about both, and there's no reason to make one look better than the other. So I do try to mock them, but I don't think I ever had any Americans that I know of really reaching out to say that this isn't funny or this isn't cool, which is interesting. Yeah. I guess the algorithm is probably not showing my soft, sensitive, highly liberal videos to anybody who would get offended anyway, you know?
Yeah.
Like one of the earlier videos I made when things were catching on with this German character that I was doing, I basically went right in. I was visiting my parents in Tennessee, actually. And I went into my dad's closet and got some camouflage gloves, some hunting gloves, and like a camouflage hunting hat. And pretended to be someone who you would see in that part of town, like this kind of tough, conservative, really country talking roof like that kind of guy, and that he would talk to a very innocent German guy, this Johannes guy, who's very
German. Great character.
Thanks.
I love Johannes.
He's like kind of naive and doesn't really understand any undertones or anything. And I kind of thought, well, you know, I do want to make this joke, but I'm sure someone's going to push back on me doing this, you know, this redneck guy. Nothing.
That's great to hear, you know.
So that's pretty cool.
That's great. Yeah, it's great to hear, because I thought there would be more pushback just in general. I thought if you're, especially if you have videos that are doing in any way well, or there's a lot of people commenting, I thought like a reasonable percentage of that was going to be general hate from people on the internet. And but it wasn't really. I haven't experienced that. And it's nice to know, because I think on the internet can be such a cesspool, you know, and people can just be so mean or just be so overly offended by things. It can be crazy, but it's refreshing, I think. And that's nice to know that you also have the same experience, that there's not all that kind of hate out there. You know, people for the most part are chilled and are up for a laugh, which is nice.
Yeah. But I asked Liam about that, and he had a good answer. It was basically like he's like, well, people can tell that the videos aren't coming from a place of like ill intent.
Sure, you'd hope so, yeah.
Or yeah, you'd think most of the time. And I was like, yeah, I guess that's right. Like I think we're all just kind of being silly. We enjoy being silly.
Of course.
And, and being funny. What was one of the more let me ask you about this one name just because I see it here. SADHBH.
Yeah, so Sive.
What?
Yeah, Sive. So if you were to, phonetically, it would be Sive.
Sive.
Sive. But in Gaelic, it's, very different.
That's fascinating. That's really fascinating. Yeah.
Lots of fantastic names in Ireland. And interestingly, they're still in very, very common use. It's extremely common to meet people called Sive or Siobhan or whatever in Ireland, because I think in lots of places and lots of countries, the real old school names have kind of faded away. But in Ireland, not the case. They're really at the forefront, which is cool, because they're very, very interesting names, I think. You know, they're beautiful.
Did you watch Succession by any chance?
I didn't, no.
But you know, there's a character, obviously, called Siobhan.
No, not even. No.
Ah, oh, okay.
I literally didn't see it. I know there's a guy called Logan Roy. That's what I've kind of picked up from, being a human on the planet while Succession has been existing.
But the daughter, her name is Siobhan. I guess they have like Irish heritage, and I think I'd maybe heard the name before, but then that was the first time I saw it spelled out on some episode for some reason. Okay. And I was like,
When you heard her character introduced, did you think, whoa, when you heard that word, or you've heard that name before sometime, or was that a big shock? Is that weird to have that in a big American show? Called Siobhan?
It was the first character I've ever seen in an American television show to have that name.
Yeah, because I've certainly never seen that in an American show or even a British show or something. I don't think I've ever seen them. Only in Irish television.
I mean, all the other names are pretty standard. There's Kendall. Kendall is one of the sons. I can't remember hearing Culkin's character's name. Siobhan. And the other ones weren't anything that I kind of had questions about. But that was so interesting that they went full out. Siobhan Roy with that name. I thought that was really a cool choice, because they also she's pretty not to dive into it too much, but she's pretty malicious. She's pretty tough, and she's not easily trusted. So I like that they also shortened it to Shiv.
I think
that was on purpose. I'm sure that was probably on purpose.
I'm sure, yeah.
What did you find to be like the most difficult video to make, maybe in terms of production or prep or writing? And did you get the reward or the result that you wanted from it?
That's a good question. I think. There was I done one video for Lingoda, the language school, and done one where the character was talking to trees, basically, and that was it was the weirdest one that we conceptualized, because like I do all the videos with my partner, like we talk about them together, we plan them together, she helps me with the German obviously, and
really, that's great.
So it's a real team effort, and we were talking about this, we were like, because we were thinking, god, what the hell are we gonna do anyway? She was thinking, what about that? I was pretty sure it was her came up with the idea for talking to the trees. And I was like, no, that's too far out there. It's too far. And but then we were thinking, how the hell are we going to do this? And anyway, yeah. So there was, yeah, I can't remember the details of it, but it was a weird shoot, let's say, trying to plan that and kind of like getting the trees to talk and trying to like make the branch kind of like tap on the shoulder and do all this kind of stuff.
I think I remember that one. I think I did see that.
It was
the twigs were like hands, right?
Yeah. So that was a difficult shoot in terms of trying to make it all work and kind of plan it out. But we were happy with how it turned out. So yeah, that was a good one, I think.
I mean, speaking of things like Lingoda, when did you start getting reached out to from companies?
Early enough, I think Lingoda was the first one, but maybe it was like 3 or 4 months into it, I think, something like that. I really can't remember. Awesome. My memory is terrible. But not too long into it. And then, that was the first proper one anyway, because I got messages saying, from random weird kind of nonsense that seems not very legit.
Yeah.
As I'm sure you get it yourself, just from things, I don't know, random messages rather than an email, like some messages that say, oh, sell this or put these sunglasses on or do this weird thing, but your name is not written down, or it doesn't even say a company, lots of that kind of weird shit.
Yes. But,
it's
like, hey, at Irish man in Germany. Yes, or just like, hey, like we love your content. Like,
yeah, it feels like it's written by a robot or something.
Yeah, and there's usually no links. Like, there's no like, hi, it's Sarah from RSA Media on behalf of Lingoda or whatever.
You know,
and then like all these links, like here's our brief. Can you send us things? It's always very short and usually very like all lowercase.
Yeah.
And it's so spooky. Like also with TikTok, there's I don't know if it was this year or last year where you could sign up for or be approved for letting companies reach out to you like via the app, like through messaging. And it's always lame. It's like, there was one that I'm sure was a scam. I'm sure it was a scam that wanted that I mean, I don't know if they actually wanted me, if it was just a robot thing, but it was just like they wanted to send me like one of those remote controlled like electric cars that kids drive on the streets.
Okay, yeah.
And I saw it and I was like, that doesn't seem legitimate at all. that doesn't match my content at all. Yeah. I just like deleted it. But no, yeah, but go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, no worries. So a lot of that kind of weird shit. And but then slowly but surely kind of getting some more legit things. So hopefully that'll keep happening. But I don't know. I mean, I think I'm too lazy with like organizing. I think do you actively kind of like email brands and stuff, or do you just kind of like let it come to you, or how do you navigate that?
No, I haven't reached. I think I've it's not that I've never reached out. There was one very early on, way before the numbers were where they are now. There was a beer company. It's just a delicious beer and it's so good. And it's only in this particular region of Germany. Isn't it really in the south by the mountains? Mm. But they have some smaller markets in Munich that sell it. And they were going to do some sort of tasting with a giveaway of these, like the metal Fass that you, it's like a little mini barrels.
Right. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'll do it, you know. And then I completely undersold my worth. Like, if I look at what I should have asked for now, it's a joke. Mm. You know, it was like $100 or $200 or something crazy. And then like free beer. I mean, I really just wanted the free beer.
Yeah.
So they sent me like, yep, you know, two cases of the beer and $200. And I did a couple of videos for them. And then I haven't done anything with them since then, but the only other company I reached out to was very recently. So in a lot of my videos, like mocking this, like the sporty mentality. Yeah. I've like directly mentioned this backpack sport athletic clothing company Deuter a lot.
Right, cool.
And they reposted something on their official channel that I had sent them.
Nice.
And so I just DM'd them. I was like, "Hey, really cool of you to do that. I'm glad that you can appreciate the joke. I'd love to do a video with you. I think it'd be funny to do something with you in my character, my German character."
Yeah,
and they were like, "What's your email?" And we're in the process of like locking everything now.
Super, yeah.
But I think that made total sense. Like, just I left the beer, and then like this company, you know, they can pay properly. They have the, you know, they don't have to do it if they want to. That's cool, and they like my videos already. And they you can see when they like or comment something. But the other companies I've done things for so far. I've been lucky that they've reached out.
Yeah,
I was like, I remember I interviewed, do you know Laura Ramoso, who she's this Canadian, she does the German mom.
Yes, she's excellent. Yeah.
She's great, man. She's
very,
super
very
funny.
Good.
She just did
very high energy. Very, very, she's a very good actor. Very intense. Very funny.
Yeah. She's amazing. And I really learned a lot. Her final product is so, there's not one nanosecond of fat on like her videos are so lean,
yeah,
if you know what I mean, like
for sure,
so sharp. And I've taken some inspiration from that. You can tell like after I discovered her that my videos got tighter, like I just like shaving off where as much as I could before losing syllables or before it seemed too awkward. And it's always a clunky changing process, I feel like, getting your videos where you want them. But when I talked to her getting approached by brands or whatever, she said, well, at some point she was approached by, I guess, like some sort of influencer agency. We talked about it on this show. And I was like, and I asked her, because this is something I'm also kind of I'm confused about, like when things like this are supposed to happen. But she said that, I asked her, where was she in her follower growth, like on TikTok or whatever, before an agency reached out to work with her to bring in more brand deals. And she said, oh, I think it was like, you know, something like between 100 and 150,000. And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, okay. So that's probably about like where that starts most likely, because that, you know, the views.
Is this on the TikTok or the Instagram or both?
I'm not sure with her. Maybe it was TikTok in the conversation, but maybe she meant both. I'm not sure, but I always felt like by the time I got to like 100, 200K I mean, at least on Instagram too, because for me, TikTok is still so fickle. I'm not sure what's going to work or what's not going to work. But Instagram, like, I think when you get to a certain response level, you kind of set a new plateau. Do you feel that way? Like you get amount of views and then it kind of stays, like it doesn't really go much lower than that. It only goes up.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Like I think TikTok to me exploded. Instagram was really slow.
Same.
But then one video on Instagram then got millions of views. And then it kind of seemed to be trucking along quite nicely. Mm-hmm. And now I think the Instagram goes faster than the TikTok now at the moment for me. I think the TikTok has slowed down. Like the early videos were, a lot of them were getting millions of views. But I can put out one on the TikTok now and it gets like, you know, I don't know, 20K or something.
Same.
And on the gram, it gets much more, where it was always the other way around. And when I started it, the gram was always much smaller numbers. So I don't know. I mean, like, I don't know I don't understand it. But
I'm experiencing the same thing.
I think it is kind of plateauing a bit on the gram. It seems to be in a bit more of a steady place now. Mm-hmm. But the TikTok has slowed down. I don't know why. I mean, maybe sometimes though, put a video out on both, of course, at the same time, basically. And sometimes it'll do really well on one and not the other. And then the next week, it's the opposite. And who knows?
Yeah, it's so hard to figure out. I wish there was a bit more reliance on knowing, maybe not necessarily what kind of video will work or not, because that's always hard to gauge. But having like a more reliability on what numbers you're going to get on a certain platform. Because I'm in the exact position as you. I started on TikTok. It blew up really fast. I was like so shocked. And then later started putting things on Instagram. It was extremely slow. One video on TikTok would get, I don't know what, you know, like you have 1 or 2 million. And then Instagram, it would get, I don't know, 5K or like.
Yeah, that was exactly the same. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it switched. All of a sudden it switched. Then Instagram was super fast. Like even in the last like 8 months, it escalated beyond, and I didn't change anything. I just kept doing it. And then TikTok slowed down tremendously. Like I'll have a video on Instagram now that'll do whatever, 1 million or 2 million. And then on TikTok get, like you said, like 20K or something. And it's so hard to gauge. Like, well,
yeah, it's impossible to know what the hell is going on. I guess from our perspective, all we can do is just keep smashing it out and just keep putting it out. And I mean, it's out of our control, that end of it, I guess. But do you worry about like what times to post and stuff? Do you kind of ascribe to that kind of stuff? I mean,
I don't.
Again, it's something I have no idea about.
Well, when people, when I come across TikToks that try to teach about like how to blow up your content, do this, every once in a while, I'll watch one of those just to see if there's something I hadn't heard before. Mm. But I don't think there's like a great universal release time in general. Like what I do is like a couple times a month, maybe more, maybe like 2 or 3 times a month, I will look at the insights.
Right,
on all the channels and see like, well, when's the highest activity?
Right, yeah.
And, you know, every month or so, maybe it changes from, okay, this month, it seems like most people are on this platform at 4 p.m. or 5 p.m. So then I wait and post, try and keep them like a very regular posting at that time. But honestly, I don't know if that makes a difference. I really don't.
Yeah, because to me, again, it seems like it. I have no idea. But sometimes I post in the evening and sometimes post in the afternoon and sometimes one is better than the other and then not the next time. I don't know, man.
Dude, and with TikTok, also, like I find that most fickle. Like with Instagram, I can kind of guess around what time more or less just to give it a shot. And I usually get more or less the same outcome. The new bottom is about what I'm expecting every time.
Right, yeah.
But with TikTok, like you said, I could maybe even by accident unlock it for the morning and just go, well, let's just leave it. And maybe it does better. Try and do the morning the next day and it's bombs. Try and do afternoon, then evening. I have no idea how to not game the system, but like it seems so unreliable. Like it's so
it's fickle. Yeah.
Like sporadic and everything just changes constantly.
Yeah.
That's really crazy. But no, but with the brand stuff, like when I was saying about Laura, when she got to 250K or whatever, I kind of thought by now that some agency would see the potential in the numbers and want to get their 10 or 15% or something. And honestly, right now I would love to have somebody, you know, like, I'm the same as you. I think like if I'm so bad, poorly organized, and I can get very lazy. And it's so, not that I'm like the, you know, not like the offers are pouring in or something, but like me trying to balance making something new every day, plus making stuff for companies, plus trying to like make a merch sort of a brand off of my image and make some like funny stuff people can buy. And then also trying to build maybe, you know, getting back on the live stage somehow, making sort of a live performance that's some stand up, some music, like how to book a tour. I don't have a promoter. I don't have a booking agent. I don't have even an assistant. I don't even have a buddy that I could just, I mean, I'm really considering like asking a friend like for $200 to just take all these envelopes of like merch to the mailbox. I just can't do it. I just don't have the time or the brain to do it. And it's a great like privileged position to be in. Like, okay, I'm getting a career going in something like this, but I really thought by now I'd have somebody like some sort of like manager who could just kind of help me organize it. Like, here's Jordan's, you know, fees that he's requesting for this. So I don't have to be the guy who's like, well, if you don't mind, actually, I'd really appreciate, you know.
Yeah, it's totally, man. Yeah, I would like that too. I have an agent in Ireland. My old acting agent is still my agent. So, but they don't, as far as I'm aware, they don't really specialize in social media stuff. And so, like, when I was coming over to Germany, I had to, like, contact them and say, look, I'm going to move to Germany. I don't know for how long, maybe forever, but I don't want to stop acting. I basically didn't want them to fire me.
Your agent was like, that's not good. That's not good for us.
Yeah, yeah. As I thought they were going to be like, okay, well, that you're now useless to us. So good luck.
You're going to fly in for auditions now?
yeah. So, but like at the start, yeah, I was, because it was an awkward period at the start where they were still, they would basically said, okay, yeah, grand. But they would send me emails for auditions. And I would be doing the self-tapes, sending them back to Ireland with the intention that if I got the role, I'd have to fly back to Ireland to do the gig. But in reality, I mean, I don't know how that would work.
Yeah.
Unless, like, if it was a theater gig, like what, like 4 or 6 weeks of rehearsals, and then the gig itself, and it would be, I'd have to leave here for huge amounts of time, and it would be very, very messy. So I don't know. But anyway, I still have the agent in Ireland, basically, and I told them about this. And I said, like, what's the crack and everything? And they just basically said, yeah, that's great. And, you know, they said how it works. So does the brands sometimes reach out to us, and then we just kind of like, we push you forward. Now, nothing has come of that since. So again, I don't know what the story, they have sent me auditions for TV shows and other random stuff in Ireland in the meantime. But so it's tough to know. I think I would absolutely like certainly a German social media management company or whatever the hell it is. Again, yeah. It's all quite new, I guess. But I think an agency that specializes in whatever the hell we're doing,
yes,
would be good. I think.
I wouldn't even know where to start Googling for something like that. There's a few, brands reached out directly from their own company marketing department or something, but a handful of times it's been through a third party agency, like a social media agency. And I just don't even know where to start with something like that. When I was booking Liam, I had to do it through his agent. Get all the information through him first. And at the end, when everything was said and done, I wrote his agent like a separate email and was like, hey, I'm just looking through everything now. I'm not asking for your team, but do you know anybody in the business who you might be able to point me in their direction? Here's my stats. Here's my engagement. I'm just looking for someone to help me kind of get things organized a bit more. Yeah. And I looked at that agency that Liam's on, and dude, every single, this is also part of me thinking like, maybe I'm too early, because every single creator on their page, which is why I didn't ask for their agents, but like every one of them, the lowest follower count was like, you know, maybe like Liam, like 1.2 million or something, which is huge.
Right, shit, yeah.
So like everybody was 1 point whatever and up, you know?
Right,
and I thought maybe I'm just asking too much. Maybe this is how it just has to be until I'm closer to that goal. You know, I have no idea.
Who knows, man? Yeah, I don't. I mean, I think there's definitely agents that would take us on, or take you on anyway, for sure. But then surely they can't be waiting for people, because people with millions of followers is not. It's sure. Of course, there's a lot of those people out there, but it's certainly in the smaller end of things when people are that big, and there must be agencies that take on people with less. But again, I don't know. Maybe I should also just get more proactive with it and kind of send a few emails around, because it would be nice to just have somebody working for you out there, putting things out there, contacting people, negotiating money and stuff. Because again, I have no idea what I'm doing or how much money to ask for if these situations come up realistically and whatever. So,
absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. We can wrap it up with some nice questions here at the end. First off, if you come to Munich at any point, like for Oktoberfest coming up, if you're just traveling through or something, let me know, because it'd be really fun to see you in person, maybe do a little video together if you want.
I'd love to, man. Yeah, that'd be great. Cool. And I've actually never been to Munich. It's only a couple of hours away. So I definitely will be going to Munich at some stage, for sure. And of course, geez, love to hook up.
Yeah, man. Oh, you'd love it. It's beautiful here. And I mean, Oktoberfest is quite the occasion to give it a shot. I mean, if you guys have some friends here you can stay with, or if you know, if you just want to come up for the day and take the train home at night, like, it's worth it to just see it once. It's quite the spectacle.
Yeah, definitely will, man. Not sure in what way we'll do it, but for sure. Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. Absolutely. Because people say it's a stunning city.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. As a fellow immigrant in Germany, what are a couple of things that you have grown to love dearly, besides nature, grown to love dearly about German culture that, if you were to go back home to Dublin for a while, or if you were to move to anywhere else, you would keep these things near and dear to you? They're part of you now.
The cleanliness of everything, the streets, man.
The streets,
I think that really jumps out to me. When I went back to Dublin for a holiday, I don't know, two years ago or something, I was getting the bus back from the airport into the city. And I was looking out the window of the bus, and I found myself, it wasn't even registering with me, but I was looking at the shops as I passed them. And in my head, I was looking at the chipped paint on the side of the shops. And I was going, no, I don't see that. That's not going to do. No. And I just, those little things. And then I caught myself. I'm like, oh my God, I am being Germanized. I was like, I am Germanizing. It's happening. I would have never seen that shit before. I'm noticing chipped paint on the side of random shops. So I think that's something that I really love. I probably take for granted now when I walk around these German towns and stuff. They're just super pretty. They're just, everything is just in such nice order. And so I would keep for sure. Yeah.
Dude, 100%, 100%. I think something I'll always keep is now the habit of like bringing my own bag to the grocery store.
Oh yeah.
Dude, I never did that. And like when I visit home, you'll see somebody, just even get like a gallon of milk or like a case of beer, and you see them double bag it in two plastic bags. And then you get in the car and you see plastic bags like tumbling in the ditch, in the drainage ditch next to the highway. Yeah. And you're like, home sweet home.
God, that is actually a big thing to mention for sure. They're taking your bags to the supermarket, obviously the fans, doing the bottles, all the recycling. It's bloody fantastic. Dude, I don't know why it's not everywhere. It's insane that system is not everywhere, actually. It's criminal.
Some of the grocery delivery apps now pick up your fund. Like, they'll take your bottles for you.
Right. Okay.
Which is pretty crazy. Which is pretty well, if you really have level. Yeah, dude. If you're having like a lazy Saturday, there's I think one or two of them that will drop off your groceries and pick up your bottles. So it's like, oh, that's so nicely German. That's so pocketed. Like, nice, here's your fund, and here's my groceries, and all them paper bags that you put into your blue recycling bin. And it's like, all done.
Lovely. Yeah.
Nice, man. Lawrence, hey, thank you so much for being on the podcast. This was so much fun.
It was an absolute pleasure, dude. Thanks so much for having me on.
I feel it was so easy breezy to talk with you, and I really hope we can have you back on again. Would love to chat again sometime. Next time you have something to plug or promote, it'd be cool to have you back on.
Beautiful stuff, man. Yeah.
your videos are great. You're killing it, dude. Keep doing what you're doing. You're super funny. And I thought earlier that you, it makes sense that you have an acting background because you have a very, you really have a good look for camera. You have a very symmetrical, nice face, strong jaw, you know, you got a good actor's face. So don't change it.
I'll try it. Cheers, nice, dude.
Artsy Farsi Immigrants, ein Podcast von John Prinz und Moritz Batscheider, produziert für M94.5.